An exhibition, an album and a documentary, it's a huge year for instrument inventor and self-styled sound mechanic Neil Feather. The former Baltimore resident, who now calls Auckland home, combines experimentation, curiosity and physics to create his instruments for himself and his bandmates to play. Since arriving in Aotearoa, Neil Feather's collaborated on numerous projects with local musicians, including Rosie Langebear. New Zealand is about to host the premiere of a documentary about Neil called Sound Mechanic and filmed in 2019-2020, just before he left the States. There's also an exhibition of his drawings and videos on show at the Audio Foundation in Auckland and a double album called Instrumentory. We have a video and photographs of his instruments on the Standing Room Only webpage for you, where Neil explains why he thinks of himself as a sound mechanic.
Because all the sounds I make are pretty much mechanical, you know, in the sense of physics and whatnot. And that's very important, is sort of the physical aspect of all the sounds coming from, you know, some kind of collision of matter and things vibrating.
Of all these, this vast array of different objects that you have experimented with and created sound from over the years, Neil, what have been some of the most satisfying, the most surprising, when you got to experiment and play and hear what you were able to make them sound like?
Surprising things happen outside of my own work, you know, where I hear a combination of a sound that might be, years ago, I was driving around, we were having a 17-year locust, you know, the brood in the area was coming out. And so this is when these insects come out and they just chirp. And so it's just this sort of this overwhelming sound of all these insects calling out to one another for their brief lifespan. And I was listening to this and I was driving down the highway in a really old Fiat Spider that had a lot of loose things on it, loose parts, so that as the speed changed, you know, different things, the glove box door would vibrate, and then the window crank would vibrate, and as it shifted down. And then it also had this, you know, old AM radio, and it was Saturday, so there was opera on coming out real scratchy. And so the combination of these sounds, you know, was just beautiful. I was just very content to take in those sounds, you know, all together. But a lot of times, you know, the instruments are, a lot of times there's sort of a concept, you know, I might spend a month or so on something before it actually makes sounds. So of all the instruments, particularly when they're a new kind of instrument, a new family of instruments, when they finally make that first sound, it's like a child taking a first step for me. That's always surprising.
It's a lovely description of it, actually, Neil. And I was just thinking maybe a good one to describe might be the wiggler.
It's based on like a tabletop guitar in the free music circles. A lot of people, you know, put an electric guitar on a tabletop and then put like drumsticks or chopsticks or something, wave it in between the strings, and then give it a tap, and it goes boing. And so I sort of took that concept and decided to make an instrument that could do that on a larger scale, you know, without the need for it to play songs or, you know, be fingered like a guitar. So I just made four parallel strings that are each about a half an inch apart. And then, so I can put, rather than the chopsticks, I can put meter long aluminum rods. And so rather than going, rather than doing a brrrr kind of sound, it goes brr, 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 brr. And then if you put two different ones in there, then you'll get these out, you'll get these phase relationships between the two things. It becomes kind of unpredictable. It's sort of like a what they used to call executive toys that people would have on their big desk, and you'd give them a whack and they would do these sort of chaotic, you know, chaotic motions. But I really like the idea of sort of mechanical chaos, you know, kind of based going back to the idea of like a compound pendulum, where a simple pendulum is just a, you know, a string and a ball, and a compound pendulum is a string and a ball or a stick attached to another stick. And so just the interference or the interplay between those two things creates a chaotic moment, you know. So many of my instruments are use circular motion or use rotary motion. So a lot of the instruments rotate but don't repeat, and I find that interesting.
Must be interesting too when you are showing people how to play your instruments. I mean, as you say, it's a combination of physics and engineering and, of course, musicality. I imagine you had some intriguing training sessions for some people who've wanted to have a crack.
Yeah, well, there's a number of people who own my instruments and have been in my bands, and some of them play things in many ways better than I do. And then in New Zealand, Rosie wrote a piece called Idiosyncrophilia for Stroma Ensemble in Wellington. And so we were dealing with a classical ensemble, and then myself and two other people were playing my instruments. And yeah, it's kind of a learning curve, because the ones they were playing, like the Wiggler and some of the ones you keep your hands on all the time, and some of them you just kind of put some energy into them and then let them do their thing. And because they're kind of unpredictable, it takes a little bit of experience to, you know, to leave them alone.
You have one that looks like a bowling ball.
There's a family of instruments called weighted strings, and they're basically pendulums. So the bowling ball is the tension on the string rather than it being rigid. And that came out a long time ago. I made an instrument called the Anaplum, which is a string. So it's sort of from the top, it's a piano string. And attached to that is a spring from like a hobby horse. And then attached to that is a small bowling ball and with three big vibrators on it. And then a magnet underneath that, and that hangs right over a repellent magnet. So it's called the Anaplum because it's like a plumb bob, but it never finds plumb because the magnet is repelling it. And so it's sort of like this sort of chaos engine. You know, it makes this drone sound that doesn't repeat, and the different vibrations fight for dominance in this unstable situation.
Clearly you had a really musically and experimentally rich time in Baltimore back at home. But film, the documentary Sound Mechanic, covers that time. You just got your visa. You're clearly really excited about coming to New Zealand, but clearly also a wrench from leaving, you know, your family and your community in Baltimore. So on reflection now, how has it been for you coming to New Zealand, and has it opened, I know, some new avenues, clearly for collaboration with Rosie, as you were saying, but, you know, instrumentation, I mean, has it been a fruitful time for you?
Well, you know, it's been a strange couple of years all around, I think. But, yeah, well, I've been here a number of times before, and I sort of had my circle of friends here who are quite active and quite talented. It's, yeah, I'm kind of starting all over again. It's been interesting in that it's kind of cleared the slate in a way. The film kind of inspired me to start a bunch of new bands and to play more, because I had someone that was going to like show up and film it and put it in a movie, which was going to be some kind of representation of me. So that kind of got nipped in the bud. So I had a bunch of brand new bands when lockdown happened, and then 8 months later came down here. But no, I mean, I sort of feel like the Audio Foundation, where the show is and who's sponsoring the screening of the film, is such a great place. It's a very similar community that I had in Baltimore, but different, smaller country.
But we really like you, we love that. You know, we love to think that we are really creative and that we can make something from some bits and pieces. So, I mean, hopefully you've been embraced. You know, your attitude towards creating new families of musical instruments hopefully finds a natural home here.
Yeah, and working, you know, different ways. I'm looking forward to, you know, I have some collaborations going on here with Rosie, with Jeff Henderson, and, you know, with just sort of more spontaneous groupings. And no, it's quite fruitful. It's awesome to be here in New Zealand.
Yeah. This is a huge year for you, Neil. We've got the documentary about to premiere, Sound Mechanic. You've got an album you were just telling me off mic, and of course the exhibition. So these are three big things.
The exhibition is actually, there's one section that's all drawings that I've been doing that have happened in the past couple of months. And the drawings are, they're sort of wormholes. They're sort of cosmic psychedelia, using color for the first time that I've done. So it's the first drawing show that I've had since uni. So that's a new thing. You know, it's sort of a lockdown project. I've gotten crazy with these kind of vortexes and wormholes. There's a video installation that is inspired by some films, a group of films that I made a few years ago called Ball Movies. And it was sort of my music of the spheres. And so I made nine machines that were like little mechanical models of planets, only kind of inside out, where various vessels like punch bowls or fruit bowls or serving trays were put on turntables and then tilted, and then different kinds of balls like ping pong balls or little wooden balls or billiard balls. And so if you tune them just right with the right tilt and the right speed and the right combination of things, they can make some interesting kind of chaotic patterns.
The documentary Sound Mechanic about Neil Feather will premiere on the 4th of June at the Lopdale House Theatre in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland.